Hello, and thank you for downloading Witness from the BBC World Service. And today we take you back 50 years to South Africa and the first ever violent action taken by the armed wing of the African National Congress against the country's apartheid system. Peter Biles reports.
It's the night of December the 16th, 1961. In the South African city of Durban, 23-year-old Ronnie Casrals is on his way to plant a bomb. His mission is one of the first operations to be carried out by the newly formed Umkhonto Isizwe, or Spear of the Nation. His target, municipal offices.
It was a very large building. It had quite a number of fields around it, including a lot of maize fields. And we found a way to crawl through the mealies, as we call maize, place the explosive device against the main door of this building, and then very much Second World War type approach, we sandbagged it against the wall to get the maximum effect of the pressure of the bomb to go into the building. I hung around the town area until I heard the sound of the explosion, and then caught a bus and went back home and bided my time waiting for the morning papers. I sweated a lot, I trembled a lot, I was glad it was over, but I was very elated, and I took a very large glass of whiskey to relax back home.
After the Sharpeville massacre the previous year, when 69 unarmed protesters were shot dead by the police, the African National Congress, the biggest movement representing the black majority in South Africa, had been outlawed. It led to much soul-searching in the ANC about whether to abandon peaceful opposition in favour of violence. In May 1961, Nelson Mandela, in a rare interview, signalled that change was coming.
There are many people who feel that it is useless and futile for us to continue talking peace and non-violence against a government whose reply is only savage attacks on an unarmed and defenseless people. And I think the time has come for us to consider, in the light of our experiences, whether the methods which we have applied so far are adequate.
Ronnie Casrals grew up in Johannesburg. His grandparents had been Jewish immigrants. By his early 20s, he'd moved to Durban and become a derring-do activist in the political underground. Nelson Mandela's comments, pointing to an armed struggle, had led to heated argument among the members of the ANC and their allies in the Communist Party. But young Ronnie was quick to decide that there was only one path to follow.
I was scarcely involved in that debate because I was very young. I'd been in the movement exactly 1 year. I had been very active in painting slogans on walls, giving out leaflets secretly, and had been approached round about the time he made the statement, in fact in July of 1961, and I was told by this leader in Durban, MP Naika, who was key person in the Indian Congress in the Communist Party as well. He said, look, there's this change coming. It's not possible to overcome apartheid by peaceful means. This has clearly been seen. We're needing to opt for revolutionary violence, although lives will not be taken. We need young people like you. So the debate was really something that I didn't have to do any of this questioning, soul-searching, etc.
Did you challenge the view at all, or did you
not
embrace it?
No, I embraced it instantly. So I immediately said to MP Naika, I said, I'll certainly give you an answer right now. And he said, no, you need to think about it. You need to reflect. I'll give you a week. And I said, don't worry, I'm telling you right now that I see the need for this. I'm terribly honoured to have been approached. I just hope that I can live up to expectations, but I'll do everything I can.
The training began, but the young MK recruits were amateurs in their campaign of sabotage and had limited knowledge of explosives.
Well, the closest to this was Ronnie Casrals, schoolboy science experiments at school, so it was next to nothing. But there were some of our people in South Africa who had been participants in the Second World War, and Jack Hodgson, who had served in the North African desert. We called him the Desert Rat as a nickname. He was sent down from Joburg to begin to teach us the basics of bomb making.
And where did this happen? Where did it take place?
In back rooms, in a garage, in a kitchen, and basically out in the sugarcane fields of Natal, where we carried out the live experiments. But we would meet in a safe house. He would go through the theory, he would show us some of the samples. We were looking at basic schoolboy type explosives, you know, where you take potassium permanganate and you crush the crystals and you mix it with sulfur and a few other things. And then, of course, the rest is basically engineering type design. What do you do with such a basic explosive powder? What type of containers do you use in order to make the bomb powerful?
December the 16th was chosen for the first MK action. It was a public holiday and had been a key date in Afrikaner history ever since the Boers faced Zulu warriors at the Battle of Blood River in 1838. Ronnie Casrolls and his team in Durban were ready, but still inexperienced.
None of our explosives worked terribly well, and our mighty bomb simply knocked the door down, or knocked it off its hinges. But nevertheless, the symbolism was there. And it was part of a number of actions around the country. And in no time, our underground units accelerated in growth. We trained more people. We became more adept and professional. We managed to steal dynamite and use dynamite, so we were soon blowing down electric pylons and cutting railway lines and absolutely levelling to the ground virtually government offices.
Did you worry about the possibility of civilian casualties?
Yeah, very much. So we took precautions, and, you know, of course, at the same time we crossed fingers and hoped that one of those watchmen wouldn't decide to come and have a look at that door at the time the explosion was due to go off or have a smoke around that place at that time. But, you know, this is inevitable that there's that kind of possibility, and that it can't stand in the way of the need for new methods of struggle, which were deemed to be absolutely essential if we were going to act against apartheid.
In its manifesto, published in December 61, Mkhonto Isizwe said it hoped the first action would bring the government to its senses before it was too late. In the event, the ANC's armed struggle lasted nearly 30 years, and Ronnie Casrolls, the man nicknamed the Red Pimpernel, always remained at the heart of it.
Certainly it wasn't the only factor by any means that has brought about the change in South Africa, but it was one of those elements, together with mass political struggle and mobilization of our people and international solidarity, which in the end, those factors helped to force the de Klerk government to see reality and open the road to negotiations and democracy.
Witness was written and presented by Peter Biles. For details of our complete range of podcasts and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.